All right, here we go. Mail It In Friday, off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and backup on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan back in the middle chair in Ottawa. Beautiful scenery behind you. There's the sun we were talking about on Wednesday.
Parlor 22. No, it's Venue 22, not Parlor.
Dude, how long are you staying there? A week or what's going on?
Well, I'm calling a game. There's a game at 1 o'clock tomorrow, and then there's a game at on Monday night too. But I'm like I say, back and forth. Because I'm trying to be safe, I'm not flying back in between, obviously, because of what's going on in the world.
Right, and you get a 1 o'clock game tomorrow, I believe. Right. So, I don't know if. Yeah, I don't know whose mic is down. That's Noodles mic or my
Noodles
mic.
Noodles is gone. Noodles is gone.
I'm just seeing a stock photo of your picture. Oh, so I don't know what's going on with
you. Dude, I'm alive. I'm well. I'm sitting here. I don't know why I'm not on the screen. Let's just motor on through this and we'll be fine. Noodles is trying to talk to us right now and he is donezo.
Yeah. Noodles is out. Noodles is going to have to reconnect. All right, there he is. You're back and it's all good. We'll figure out Noodles. Maybe we can... shut him down or get him back up on a different screen because this is going to get awkward. We're going to be staring at him and be distracted. We're in the basement. We're just trying to keep it together, keep it on the rails here. You're mailing it in over there. I see that. I decided I'm going to try a new trend. I talked smack about this look a few days ago, wearing a golf shirt during the winter, but I'm going with it. Golf shirt Friday. I'm going to start wearing golf shirts on Friday, just kind of relax a little bit. Business cash. It's all good up on TSN 4.
You can't go with the Flex Seal one. That's all.
No, exactly. And that's not what I'm doing. I've just got a basic.
What's wrong with the Flex? What's wrong?
Okay, are you back? You can't just jump in like that. Are you back or not? I'm going to start losing my mind
here. I'm back.
Are you good? Okay,
let's go. I apologize. I don't know what happened. It just dropped.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we restart here? All of a sudden, I heard you guys back.
Yes, we have you, Noodles. We're good. Yes, we're back. Everything all good?
I had an incident today. I wanted to run by you guys. Because I'm not staying on a low floor, but I came out of the shower today. Luckily, I had a towel, and I locked eyes with a gentleman in my window. There was a, I don't know what it was called, a window cleaner or whatever. Mm-hmm. You keep the blinds open, and this guy was just rolling through, and he happened to, roll by at the time I walked out. It's an awkward feeling. You have to wonder what these guys have gone through. When you're cleaning windows, you wonder what you see. You know what I mean? Because I don't think it's like tinted windows. I think this guy could actually see what was going on.
Oh,
not
for sure.
Not that anything was going on.
No, but they're looking in, and they're not going to give you a heads up. If you're doing a full building, cleansing of the windows, you're not going to let people know that that's coming.
You don't give a rap.
No, there's not much you can do about it. You're not going to send out an email or put it. You might. I don't know. I haven't lived in a building in so long. I don't remember what the protocols are. Maybe they put something up by the elevator. The last Friday of every month, we're going to clean the windows. So be careful. But I guarantee you those guys have seen pretty much everything.
It was pretty much the last stuff
you want to see.
Well, yeah, it rattled me because, you live in a building like that. Do they clean the windows? You ever notice that?
It's once a week, and what the hell are you going to do? They got to do their job, and they're not going to give you, the tap on the window, heads up, hey, I'm here. But you can wheel out of the shower, and they're right there. So there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep, nothing you can do about it. Anyway, Ken Holland will join us in about 20 minutes. The Leafs are in Edmonton tomorrow night. Rays coming up. Josh Lewenberg will join us later this afternoon. There's some big stuff going on with the Raptors. Nick Nurse and his whole staff. Basically, Nick Nurse and five other coaches will not be on the sideline tonight. Houston is in Tampa taking on Toronto, and that's based on health and safety protocols. So COVID, someone is either tested positive or they have come in contact with someone, and they're out. And that would explain why I think Nick Nurse, who was supposed to come on with us yesterday, and we plugged that on Wednesday, we got a note yesterday saying we're going to have to reschedule, hopefully early next week. We didn't get more detail than that, not that we need it or we deserve it, but we were kind of curious because Nick is generally a guy, if he locks it in, he's willing to come on, and he's always been good to us in the past, and now this makes sense. Clearly they were aware of this, and they knew what was coming, And this is going to be, you know, we've had a number of different things happen over the past year in sports that makes you kind of take a step back and think, what is happening in the world right now? Like, how are we in a position where we're playing playoff games in a bubble with no fans, where coaches are wearing a mask, where, you know, whatever else has happened, getting tested every single day. There's all these different things taking place. This one might be the craziest of them all, because a whole coaching staff is just wiped out. You know, not literally and not hopefully more than a game or two. And obviously we wish nothing but good health for everyone involved. That is the high priority here. But I would assume Bobby Webster will be coaching tonight, and you're going to lean on the players?
That's what I was going to say, Brian. A couple things to it. Who the hell's coaching tonight? And how does the coaches – it's not like the coaches show up whatever makeshift practice facility they have, but they're around the players all the time. So I always found it curious how they single out a certain group. Like, I know in football there's the wide receivers, quarterbacks. What is it? Like, you're only going around those people and no one else? Like, the coaches are around the players basically more than everybody. Yeah. So that's why I can't figure it out. How do you put the rest of the team on the field or the court, and the coaches have to not be there? That's what I don't get. And who's coaching beyond that?
Yeah, and maybe we'll get an answer on that. I think Bobby Webster will be speaking around 5:30, 5:45. So we'll see what he can tell us. I mean, I don't think they're going to get into too much detail on that. But you raise a good point. You know, like if the coaches are out, how can the players go tonight? And maybe the explanation is there is someone in management or whatever that was actually the one that tested positive, and he was only in the coach's office. He never went into the locker room. I don't know what the answer is, but it is one of those uniquely COVID stories where you're basically circling a fraction of the team, in this case Nick Nurse and his staff, and saying you can't go. And we don't know where it's going to go from here.
Did that not happen to the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, but players were out too. Players were out too.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That.
Not just management and coaches. You're right, because I think it was Kelly McCrimmon.
He did.
GM that came down and coached the team. But
that's why I guess I'm assuming Webster will be on the sideline tonight. Like I assume that's the case, and based on that exact example where Peter DeBoer was out, and I think an assistant coach or two was out, maybe the whole staff, and
the whole staff.
Kelly McCrimmon had to go down because the game was going to continue, and the GM basically was like, I guess I'm down here. And we should try to get him on at some point, Kelly, and ask him, was he calling out lines? Like, I believe he coached in the WHL.
He did. Right? He coached. He's got an extensive coaching history, but, like, that's the funny thing you say, Bobby Webster. Like, how many games do you think he's coached? Zero. Like,
exactly.
He understands the game, but, you know, he probably looks at it from a manager standpoint. It'd be like Dubas going down and coaching the Leafs.
Right, exactly. Like, no experience calling out lines and making adjustments on the fly. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, Bobby Webster tonight, he knows the game inside out, but
right.
You're like, is he going to be arguing with the ref tonight? Is he going to pick his spots in terms of who is going at what time? What play are you calling coming out of a timeout? Yeah. You know, or an inbound, or what? Last second on a clock. What are you doing?
You got to lean on your best players and your leaders when you're in that situation. It's not like you're going to go down there and whip out the chalkboard and start dialing up plays, Hayes. Like, you got to say, Kyle, Pascal, whoever it's going to be, what is going down here? What's your best option? What have you done? I don't know. It's fascinating because you would think someone that's been around the game for so long, so smart and knowledgeable about everything, it's like, I'm not grabbing that chalkboard. I'm not dialing up a play. I have no idea what the hell's... Someone that's so critical of the coaching position, the general manager, and really doesn't have a whole lot of knowledge about what the hell's going on.
That's the amazing thing.
Imagine being critical of the head coach, saying, what the hell are you doing out there? You don't know how to manage the clock. You don't know how to do this or that. Then you get in that position, and you have no idea what you're doing.
Quite literally no idea. Yeah, wow. The tables have turned. Assuming it's Bobby tonight, maybe there is a member of the staff who isn't affected by this that can't step in, that is familiar with it, that has done it before. But, man, Nick Nurse and five different members of the staff all out. It's tough to believe that guy's available.
Don't you think that the players pretty much, I mean, you know, if the coaches were unavailable to us when we played, I think the guys could sort it out. You know, I think leadership on the team, you know, Kyle Lowry's going to be a big part of that. I think he'll, you know, he'll talk about, hey, I'm good, or I need a break, and, you know, it's communication. But I think if you actually, you know, sat a team down and said, hey, we don't have a coach, we're going to put the trainer back there just in a suit, you could figure it out. Like, let's look at the Leafs. Matthews' line would be set. They're going to, you know, they would go when they're ready type of thing. Second line, you know, you set the lines before you go out. You'd have to have in-game adjustments if, you know, Hyman gets a shot off the foot or there's an injury or shorthanded. But I think you could actually sort it.
I think you'd have to dumb it down. I think hockey would be much more difficult than basketball because you're making so many more changes on the fly. Right. I think with basketball, you're probably just going to dumb it down as much as possible. Now, things can change. You get an injury, some guy fouls out, you right. take a couple of quick fouls, and you need to make an adjustment that you weren't preparing for. But I would think you go into this, and Nick Nurse will be involved. There'll be some Bobby Valentine maneuvers tonight. Like, Nick Nurse is going to let everyone know what the game plan is. It's not like Nick is saying, I'm out, turning my phone off. He hasn't been suspended. You know, he didn't get fired or something. He's just in health and safety protocol. So you can still access him and his mind, and I'll bet you he'll speak with the team. I wouldn't be shocked if he spoke with the team via FaceTime before the game, at halftime.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. What if he coached from his hotel room?
Why can't you do that?
And just had a screen, and he's yelling at the ref. Like, it would be unbelievable. The only other story I know like this, it's crazy, but 100 years ago in junior – for Lethbridge Hurricanes, there was a coach named Brian Maxwell, and he got suspended for like 40 games. I think there was an abuse of an official or something like that. He coached from the parking lot in a Winnebago through nice. An earpiece.
Why can't Nurse do that tonight?
It wasn't that long ago. The coach in college football was sick, and he was in a hospital bed up in the press box.
Yeah, he was in a dental chair. He was propped up in a dental chair at three quarters, and he was calling the game from up there. I think we're onto something here.
Yeah, like,
yes, you need a physical body there, but this is not a suspension. This is not a firing. This is not, you know, I'm a leave of absence. This isn't like Nick Nurse, unless he is under the weather, like unless he is dealing with symptoms and really not feeling well. I don't see why you can't have him involved in the game planning tonight and involved in strategy. Like, you know he's watching the game.
Don't kid yourself, Brian. I think that I've seen almost all sports, I don't know, but I have seen coaches wearing eye watches where I think there is communication from someone on an eye watch. Like, think about an iWatch. It's basically messaging. Someone could say, hey, this is, instead of an earpiece, you could just look down at an iWatch and it just say, eye in the sky, somebody telling you what to do. And it's like, there's some info.
Right. It's like calling up the bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, have Nick Nurse in the bullpen, have a bat line. Wouldn't it be incredible TV if they caught that tonight where, you know, there's 5 seconds left in the game. It's an inbound. and Bobby Webster's got his phone up and he's just going like this. All right, Nick, everyone gather
FaceTime.
Around.
FaceTime.
And
FaceTime.
Nick Nurse is drawing up a play, like, in his pajamas from his hotel room. I think there might be something to that. But they got Houston tonight. Houston's a beatable team. You know, if they were playing the Lakers tonight or the Clippers or something, you might be thinking this is going to get away from them. But I'm quite intrigued by this case study. It's clearly not ideal. No one wants to go through it. We didn't see it coming. But the players are healthy as far as we know, and the players are going to be intact, and the lineup will be intact, and they're going to go tonight. So we'll tee up the Raptors in their situation. We'll wait for Bobby Webster, the GM, to speak in just over an hour, try to get you more details on how this came about, why none of the players are also in protocol, and can Nick Nurse be involved at all in the game planning tonight or the second-to-second replaying of coaching decisions. So we'll get to that later in the hour. Ken Holland in about 10 minutes. Again, the Leafs are in Edmonton tomorrow. Matthews didn't skate today. I guess it's a game-time decision tomorrow. I think Dregs reported that yesterday, though, that this was the plan and what was going to happen. So no need to panic that he won't play tomorrow night. He may not. I'd say it's probably 50-50 at this point. But Thornton likely back. Muzzin likely back. Jack Campbell back. But Freddie Anderson
too?
Not back. No, Freddie, I don't get the impression like Freddie is an option tomorrow night. It sounds like Jack Campbell will play as long as everything is all good tomorrow. He gets up, probably takes a skate, stretches out. Yeah. If he's good to go, he'll go tomorrow, as he should if he's ready to play. But, yeah, the clock keeps ticking on Freddie, I guess. You know, he's on the trip. He's going to be with them, but I don't know when he's going to play again.
I took it with the Matthews. Like, he's been playing with it already. I think he's, you know, whether it's something that's been progressively getting worse or they're just managing it. Like, I just assumed he's playing, that they're just managing it, like, on off days where, you know, if it's something that I'm sure you guys have jammed your wrist or something. Again, I'm not going to be a doctor with this, but, you know, the guy's still shooting the puck a million miles an hour, so it doesn't look like it's hampering him too much.
No, exactly. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. You know. Like, I can't imagine in the third period. Like, he's running on adrenaline at that point, and he was into the game. I don't think he was ever in danger of leaving the game. That can,
right.
You know, it can settle in a little bit more, an injury when you take the gear off and you go home and you wake up the next day. But I don't think he'll take draws. You know, that right. might be something where you can – it's kind of load management within the game, right? Like, we're going to try to avoid as much strain on the wrist or the hand as you can. But, yeah, I would put money on him playing tomorrow night. I'm just – it's also a big picture, and if they feel like take a night off and we'll see a Monday night, that seems reasonable as well. It wouldn't be the end of the world, I guess.
No.
Is what we're saying. If he doesn't play tomorrow night, it's not like he's not going to play for another month.
Yeah.
Right.
He's probably not going to practice a whole lot, not take face-offs. The thing is, it's got to get better. You're thinking big picture, just as you mentioned, Brian. You're thinking down the road. This season, I'm telling you, is going to be over before you know it. Like, we're creeping into March, and then always April, it's like playoffs are around the corner. They got to get whatever is wrong with it. You don't want it lingering around. So if it's got to be 100%, and the best way to do that is rest and not play, that's something they got to figure out. But I can't see him practicing too much, taking faceoffs. But the question is, I mean, hockey players are never 100%. Football players, all athletes are never 100%. But how do they get that thing where he can play a seven-game series in the playoffs? That's all that needs to be figured out.
Yep.
Goals,
that's exactly
whatever.
Right.
It's just a bonus on top. It's got to be ready for the playoffs.
Yep. That's where they're going. Great. That's what they need. And Edmonton won again last night. We're going to catch up with Ken Holland, their GM. The Oilers look good. Winnipeg look good. Ottawa look good. Calgary,
Ottawa.
Montreal, Vancouver did not.
Wow.
You know, that is an issue in those three markets. So we'll get into that whole conversation. We'll tee up the Leaf game tomorrow, the Raptors game tonight, and we're tracking the WGC workday where – your boy Fergie made himself a trade yesterday that I think is pretty balanced. It didn't feel that way.
I was going to say, it's not as Fergie as you thought yesterday, I'll tell you that.
No, I was concerned, but now I'm starting to come around on this idea that I've got a chance anyway. We'll tell you more about that.
I'm telling you, that weasel Patrick Reed, tough golf courses, this guy, he's going to win. I guarantee you
he's so good.
This golf tournament.
He plays better when the course is tough and the field is deep. That's when he's at his best.
Yeah.
Like, he loves it. He loves it. And he's right there. He's sniffing around the leaderboard right now. And there's a couple of big sports anniversaries today. We have not forgotten those. We will get into the audio. We will break it all down. Noodles is in Ottawa with the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
We got to get into this later when we have some free time. And I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but today I experienced the devastation of the wrong order on the takeout, and it was just, it was a morning and I was expecting something. Stoplight, dig in the bag. I have the wrong bag, and I don't know what's the most devastating mishap as far, is it nugs with no Barbie sauce? Like, imagine getting on the highway and there's no Barbie sauce. That is about as devastating as it gets. I don't know what's worse, but
it
I ordered like a breakfast thing. And I put the hand in, and it came out as this chicken thing.
And I
was like,
back?
I couldn't. I didn't have time, and I had some personal affairs to deal with the condo. But I was so devastated, but I ate it, and I hated every second of it.
Well,
and I've
Hayes,
only
what's
experienced,
your
my only other experience was 2 weeks ago. I got the 7 hard from Taco Bell, no mild sauce. I was like, my, devastated.
Yeah, it is devastating, and that's, I find there's, I am not one to order via the website, like via online ordering, because
no.
I just don't trust it.
And old school drive through.
It's got to be a drive through or a call. I have to hear the voice of somebody, because I have had that issue before where it was my own fault because it was too complicated of a website, and you're supposed to, well, like, let's say you order a sandwich, and then you're supposed to announce or pick, do you want fries, soup, salad, right, and then what kind of salad, and then what kind of dressing. I just hit sandwich and then whatever you got, and that was my bad, but it made me realize I can't do that anymore. I am not one to usually loop back around. Like, it's
can't
the ultimate lazy move, but
you know,
I'm just like,
not, you know,
I don't think I can do it.
Is not looking in the bag to see if everything's all checking out.
That's kind of what you have to do. But you feel like you're kind of being a little bit snobbish when you do that. It's almost like, yeah, I'm worried you got this wrong, so I'm going to look in the bag, and I just kind of grab it and dart. That's generally what I do.
I'm like that, but I always feel like I'm holding the person up behind me.
Exactly.
I always try and be courteous.
Yep.
But the thing is I don't have much bad luck, but there's certain drive-thrus. I won't name a name, but the McLennan household is like cursed when it comes to this drive-thru. And they've served over multi-billions of people. Put it
that
way.
I know who you're talking about.
You roll through there, and they just mess up every order. And I it's just been so frustrating. And I'm a guy who just keeps driving. Like, I'll eat, you know what, you order this.
The circle back is tough because if you get back in line and there's 15 cars in front of you,
no.
That's not worth it. But if
you jam on the brakes and you walk out like a movie right to the lady in the window and you say, fix this, please.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't do that in this era anywhere. You can't get out of your car. You can't get that close. And then you're jamming up the people behind you because they think you're coming in to steal their order or whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's
no
ideal
like
answer.
That. The drive-thrus in Edmonton, they never do that to you. Put it
Edmonton
that way.
Wouldn't do that? Everything
no,
about
never.
Edmonton is perfect right now. They can't lose a game. They cannot
exactly.
lose a game. They did
playing
it again
well.
Last night. And they are moving and shaking up the standings here, man. The Oilers are red hot. Mike Smith is up for the Vezina all of a sudden. Guy can't lose. Here's the GM of the Edmonton Oilers, Ken Holland. Are we pumping your tires enough here, Ken, or what?
I've been around a while. It can slip and things can turn in a hurry in this league. So certainly we're happy with the run, but there's a long way, long way to go. Lots of hockey left to be played.
Yeah, that's probably a reasonable state of mind. But man, you guys are playing well, and you looked good again last night. And you got those two rock stars up front. You've mentioned it. You've been around the game for a long time, and you've been the GM of some Hall of Fame players. But how great is it? How fun is it to show up at the rink knowing that 97 and 29 are playing for you that night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're great players, and you know, they you go into a game, most nights you're pretty confident they're gonna be involved in a goal. So, but I'm pleased. I think twice a couple of weeks ago we'd won two games when Connor and Leon didn't get a point. We found ways to scratch out some wins. So, you know, we're sort of evolving as a team, and I think we're gaining some confidence here as we've gone along. And you know, getting Mike Smith back to kind of get our 1-2 punch in goal with Koski and Mike has been good. So we're feeling good about ourselves, looking forward. Obviously we got three games now with the Leafs, and the Leafs are feeling good about themselves, so looking forward to the next series. You know, it's, you play series. We're looking forward to the Winnipeg, and then Vancouver, and now Toronto, and then Toronto leaves, and somebody else comes. So it's an interesting schedule, but certainly looking forward to the next three games with the Leafs.
Kenny, how has it been watching Puljujarvi? He's an interesting case study. He left for a year, and then he comes back. He looks bigger. He looks stronger, and most importantly, he looks like a solid NHL player from what I've seen. I don't know if you have differing opinions, but what's the process been putting eyeballs on him? What's it been like?
No, he's really growing since he's, come here. He started out early in the season in training camp, but early in the season, he was down on a line there that we thought was going to be a third line with Kyle Turris and Archibald, and I think about game 5 or 6 we played in Winnipeg, and Dave Tippett made a decision to put Jesse up with Connor and Ryan Nugent Hopkins, and played a great game that night, and I think scored a goal, and he's been there ever since. I think his confidence is growing. He's obviously got 6 goals in his last, 9 games for us. And I would say to you, you know, hearing, you know, what transpired here 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and then he went back to Finland last year, I would say to you, going back to Finland with, when he was 21 years of age was probably really good for his confidence. Probably lost his swagger a little bit. Confidence is such an important ingredient in athletes. And, you know, he was drafted high, and after 3 years, he kind of lost his swagger. He lost his confidence. He went back. He finished in the top near the top leaders in scoring in the Finnish league. He played in the for the Finland national team on a couple of tournaments. And he's come back, and he's playing professional hockey, North American professional hockey. He's going in straight lines. He's getting into the forecheck. He's putting pressure on the other team's defensemen. He's been strong on the wall. He's done a good job in getting the puck in the hands of Connor and Nuge. He's gone to the blue paint. He's a net front presence for them. So he's been a really important player for us this year. And at the age of 23, you know, hopefully he can grow and continue to develop as a player. But certainly a player that's going to be important for this team, player for this franchise going forward.
Ken, you mentioned confidence, and you know Tyson Barrie was in this market last year. You know, Darnell Nurse is a guy who's been asked to do more. I'm just looking at your defensive core in the absence of Oscar Klefbom, because he was a guy who played in all situations, and he's not available to you this year. Are you happy with your group? Has there been players that have elevated? And maybe talk about a guy like Barrie and Nurse who've kind of anchored your back end.
Well, you know, I'll get to, you know, in Darnell Nurse, he sort of reminds me a little bit when I think back to my Detroit days, when we had Lidstrom and Konstantinov, and then Konstantinov, we lost him obviously in the car accident. And Nick Lidstrom just got more ice time. He came to camp that year. He got more ice time. He got more responsibility. We were leaning on him more, and it was really probably a part of his career when he took his career to another level. And with Klefbom out, you know, Klef last year, they played 25 minutes. Darnell was around 22 minutes. And now, obviously, Klef is out. We're leaning on Darnell way heavier than we did last year, way more responsibility, and he's relishing the opportunity. And he's playing, you know, 25 to 27 minutes a night. I think he played 32 or 33 minutes last week against Calgary in one of those games, the night the Cuckoo got hurt early in the game. So he's using the opportunity. You can see his confidence growing. He's taken his game, you know, from what I saw last year. He played really good last year. He's taken it to another level this year. And in Tyson Barrie, you know, signed him obviously with Klef out. We needed another defenseman, somebody they thought that could run the power play, because Klef was on the power play. You know, it's a one year opportunity for both of us to kind of see how it worked out. I thought the first four or five games, Tyson looked a little tentative, and a little slow out of the gate. And I don't know about game six and game seven, he just seemed to kind of take the puck and do the things that he's done throughout his career. And, Ethan Bear somewhere along the line there, you know, he played with Nurse last year. Ethan got hurt, and Dave Tippett put Tyson Barrie with Darnell Nurse, and they found a wonderful chemistry. And they've been, I think we're one of the leading teams in the league with points from the back end, and certainly those two guys are a major reason why we're getting points from the back end. Both guys, Tyson and Darnell Nurse, are playing at a high level, and they both get time on the power play, and they're helping us get the puck going from when we're in our end, get the hands of the puck in the hands of Connor and Leon, and transition from defense to offense. And you know, we've cut the goals against down significantly the last 10-12 games. We were giving up way too many goals early on for a whole variety of reasons. And I think that we've kind of got, we're playing with more confidence now, and we've got some people that have taken their game here, you know, Darnell, Tyson, getting Mike Smith back. You know that we've got lots of people on board pitching in, helping us find ways to win hockey games.
Chatting with Ken Holland, GM of the Edmonton Oilers, the Leafs are in Edmonton for three games starting tomorrow night. McDavid and Draisaitl, obviously their play speaks for itself, but their contracts really stick out as well. And we had conversations on this show when your predecessor signed Leon Draisaitl. There were, you know, some people that were wondering, man, that seems a bit rich. I mean, a lot of guys in that category were going for around $6 million, $6.5 million. He signs an 8-year deal at $8.5 million, and now it looks like an absolute bargain. It is, relatively speaking. And you have him locked in through 24-25, and Connor's locked in at 12.5 cap hit through 25-26. So between the two of them, $21 million for at least four more seasons after this. You know, as an architect, you're building this team. Having those two locked in at the price that they're at, you know, how much of a luxury is that going to be for you and the ability to build around them and hopefully build a cup-winning team at some point?
Well, I mean, first off, you make a great point. You know, great job by Peter Chiarelli, and, you know, he had the foresight to go out and sign both those young stars to, you know, max deals, 8-year deals, and get them locked in. And, you know, once you get your star players locked in, you know, you can go to work. You know what numbers you are to work with, and you can build around it. So, certainly coming here, you know, when I showed up knowing that that Peter Chiarelli had done a lot of good work to, and those two contracts, certainly were a part of it, was a real luxury and put me in a good position. So, you know, they're two young superstars. They're locked in, like you said, for the next 4 years. They're great players. They play hard. They've got care about the team. When I came here last year, they worked really hard to have an all-rounded game. They work hard away from the puck. They're back checking and they're doing little things to try to help our team win. So certainly feel very fortunate that they're locked up long term, and we're just trying to obviously build around them and build a, you know, bigger core of players that can help us win on an everyday basis.
Kenny, what's it like watching McDavid every night? The three of us all played the game, and we still watch, and we say, like, holy bleep, 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 bleep. And I know you've had Fedorov, Yzerman, Datsyuk. Has there been some moments where even McDavid just makes you go, like, wow, that's just kind of a new one for me, or is it just old hat for you with the guys you've had in the past?
No, I'm fortunate you rattled off some names. I had some great players and some great teams in Detroit, but nobody's like Connor, and he's in a world of his own. I'm all those bleeps that you just said, I have those bleeps too when I'm watching on an everyday basis. I mean, the things that he can do at high speed and tight quarters and go laterally, and he's I mean, you can't even put into words how good he is. I mean, he takes you out of your seat on an every night, many, many times basis. So, and then on top of that, how much he cares, you know, like I think, you know, he's got skill, but how much he cares and his determination and his passion for the sport, you know, at practice and in the off season and how determined he is to be the very best that he can be and to improve areas of his game that he thinks that need to be improved to take his game to another level. But certainly he's a highlight reel on almost every night. And I feel so fortunate to be able to have a front row seat and watch him play on an every night basis, because he's unreal. It's absolutely unreal to watch on a night-to-night basis.
Ken, just before we get you out of here, I just had one last question. It's more about golf, but I believe you've golfed with Ray Ferraro. Can you talk to the his skill of his game?
What about the anger level?
You know what? Ray, Ray's a plot hunter. I got a couple trips that he goes on. He comes into Vernon, and he always tells you how bad he's playing. He's a grinder. He's a grinder. He finds a way to get the ball in the hole. He's a competitor. Can't tell you he's the prettiest guy to watch, but he knows how to score, and he knows how to win money. He always seems to go home with money. So he's a competitor and a grinder. But I mean, a great guy. He loves hockey. He loves golf. He's got a lot of passion. He's a good man.
Yep. With his grumpiness, do you have to keep him away from friends of yours that are like nice guys? Or because a normal guy that just has like nice days would not be familiar with him, like if he's having a day. So there's got to be people
He's always leaving the course with his wallet stuffed a little thicker. So he's usually happy around our group. I think that's why he keeps coming back. He figures there's a lot of pigeons in the group that I've got, so he keeps coming back.
I like it. He's a sandbagger. That's what we like out of Ray, too. We see that. We hear it every day. Well, good luck tomorrow night and the rest of the way. And as always, we appreciate you taking time. Thank you, Ken.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
There's Ken Hall, the GM of the Edmonton Oilers. And
a couple things, Hazy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Great question to you. Mm-hmm. And I said the three of us played the game.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. Up.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm sure he's taking notes saying, hey, he's going to ask his PR guy, who the hell's the other guy?
He doesn't even know who me and Noodles are on this show.
He does. I'm telling you, that guy has been like, he is so sharp when it comes to players in the league and all that. I guarantee you he's probably watched you play in Barrie. Like, he's that type of manager that is very proactive. He's been around the game, what, 30 years?
Yeah, long, long time. Like, from playing to being just right in kind of middle management in Detroit, and eventually, I think he took over in the mid-90s as the GM.
Right.
So and obviously, he was there for 20-plus years.
We saw another you guys remember when we saw another knowledgeable hockey man in Barrie, and we got a horse eye like we were four people that were not even familiar with him?
Yep. That was our buddy Craigie Button.
Craigie Button looked at us and
<That's>
said,
right. He was
you
like,
three, you I don't are... know. Like, he's like, you got to go away.
Mortified.
Mortified.
We knocked on that scout room. We knocked on that room. He was sitting down. He moved his neck about as slow as you could possibly move it. And he just, it was just disgust.
I felt like such a pigeon because I'm like, I'm scum of the earth and I have no business being in this room. And then I went and put, like, some kind of costume on. I'm like, this is why he wants no – like, he's just like – he wanted no part of
no,
us.
No, he was
night.
Up there to watch real hockey. Like, he had – Svechnikov was playing. Morgan Frost was playing that night.
Yeah.
Like, legitimate hockey players. And then the three of us bozos were out there in suits on.
You're right. I forgot about that. We walked into that room, and Craig actually pretended that he didn't know us for a bit.
He did.
Because, like, he was like, I'm in my element here. Like I'm scouting. I'm doing what I need to do for my reports. Like he basically.
Amy, one of us said something to him, like hello, and he did a turnaround in a horse eye, and I almost ran out the door. I'm like,
it was really embarrassing for the three of us because there were like legitimate scouts in there, like a bunch of
NHL
teams.
We walked out of the room, and Brian said, "Did you guys get that vibe?" I was like, "Oh my god!"
Oh, it was it was thick. It was a thick vibe. Oh, who are you? Why are you up here? Don't even think about a stop and chat right now.
No.
Move it along. Just
but
continue
he was right.
to move.
He was right.
Of
because
course
an hour
was.
Later, the guy next to us is wearing the mascot uniform and running around
the
underneath
Barrie
the stand.
The Barrie Colt mascot that had been sitting on the floor in that rink for about 2 months. And remember
anyway,
what that
I know,
like?
Oh, my God. I know the same face, and I hope Mulls and Megan or Kinger, who's ever back there, when Hayes has wires crossing in his head, and then Noodles jumps back into the fold and wants to tell his window washing story, I want to get the react. I want to just get that clip because Hayes wanted to burn your hotel and you when you started telling that story, and I need to see it live because it was like this was the
it was a rocky start because for a number of different reasons. We had some technical issues, which happens, and then here's what really threw me off was what Noodles' mic went down. I thought it was my mic because everything went dead on me because Noodles was speaking at that time. So I stalled and thought, I'm done. I'm out. I better just stop talking. And then all of a sudden, Megan went solo shot on me, and I realized I'm Garth Algar right now. Like, I'm up. My mic is working.
Oh, and then so, you came back to, you guys want to know about a window washer?
And, I and then Noodles is in there again. I'm like, what the hell is going on in here?
He fires up right away. I got a story for you guys. And
oh,
he's as honest as
my head was
smoking.
Ready to explode. Listen, I was
if
trying
we
to keep
could
it
just clip, if they could clip that, Malls, that small little video of Noodles wanting to tell his window story, I want to see Hayes' face.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, the hell with this. I'll just pile through because I don't know if we were still on TV where I realized that I had dropped or something, and I was pointing at my ears going, I can't hear, or can you hear me? I was
but
doing
that's the
hand
thing.
Gesture.
We noticed you kept talking, and I'm
you
like,
you were done. You were done.
And then I gave it to just let him, you know, shut it down for a bit, and then it went solo shot on me, Garth Algar, and then I came back, and then you were there talking about Windows, and I'm like, what is happening right now?
That was
with this
Wayne's
radio
World.
Show?
It was Wayne's World,
yeah,
which
it
is
was.
Awesome. It's Friday.
Exactly.
Listen, put it this way.
That was a Friday moment, all right.
Okay, this is a great segue for you, Hayes. Nothing could be, our start to the show could not be worse than three organizations right now in the NHL.
Exactly.
Up north.
That's right.
Right? And the fan bases and how frustrated they are.
Okay, let's come back and get into that. Calgary, Montreal, Vancouver. You put it all into a blender. That was our show from about 4:02 to about 4:04. But I think we handled it well.
No,
we're all professional.
I could tell your head was going to pop off your body.
I
want to see it again. I want to see when Noodles starts telling the window story. Because I'm like, the timing of this story is the worst possible
timing.
It was
a great story,
the
too.
Thing
oh,
is,
great
it was.
Story.
It's
but
great
I literally
material.
Wanted to put my hand over my face and be like, this is just.
But here's the thing. This is why this show works. Because material like that is great for the show. And it's exactly what we are and what we need. And it would have been perfect if the lines didn't cross, and then I wasn't Garth Algar for 30 seconds, and then we were trying to transition somewhere else,
just
and then
Malls,
it was
try to get that all together
awkward.
For us so we can
it's
play it for everyone because I want to see
greatest.
The smoke coming out of the host ears.
Okay, we'll try to get to that. Rays coming up. Pierre LeBrun later this afternoon. Josh Lewenberg on the Raptors coaching staff and their situation tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so we were talking to Ken Holland, who's a GM in the NHL, has been for a long time, and obviously a big golfer, too. We should have asked him about our trade at the end of the show yesterday and see what type of reviews we would get from Ken Holland, because yesterday I was being called at the end of the show, Noodles, John Ferguson Jr., because at the time it felt like I got fleeced. Like, I threw out a trade proposal.
Two guys that were in the top five of the golf tournament, and you were settling for it. I'm like, this is JFJ.
Yeah, it was. But I just wanted action at the top of the board because a couple of my players, like DeChambeau, who's actually like 7-under today, he's moving back up the leaderboard, and Dustin Johnson were out of it. So I had John Rahm, who didn't have a great day today. He's probably not going to be in the mix.
Right.
So I offered up a trade. I said, you can keep Brooks Koepka, and I'll give you Webb Simpson, who was in the lead yesterday. You have to give me Tony Finau, and I'll keep John Rahm.
Okay.
And Finau's now at 9-under, but Koepka's 10-under.
I told you, Finau does not scare me come Sunday. You know why?
Yeah, he chokes it out.
Yeah, and another surprising thing about this tournament for anybody, like normal people like us, Matthew Wolf could have gutted it out, and you know what? He would have finished dead last by a lot because he was garbage yesterday. He shot 83, man. He's one of the best players in the world. If he just shot 83, 83, 83 three more times, he would have taken home $40,000, but he just said no. He just said, piss on that, man. I'm out of here.
Yeah,
you imagine? Like, $40,000 US, like, that was just like, I'm not sticking around.
I'm not doing that. Not for the embarrassment, right?
Dude, that's like, stick around for the I don't care how much money you have, $40,000, put it in your pocket and go home.
Yeah, you're right. But just to your point, if you've got a boatload of cash, 40 is not going
to
be
that hard to tee it up three more times, Hayes. Come on.
It is when you've got like Dustin Johnson staring at you wondering what the hell's the matter with you or like that. That's what it would be. It'd be peer pressure. It'd be you're pulling the pin because you're like, I can't do it. I got to be paired with some guy who's going to be watching me saying, what is happening to your game? Like, you shot an 83. Like, if I shoot an 83, I'm like, that was an okay round. Like, I'm not even that happy at 83. That says something about where he was at.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're tracking the WGC where Koepka's a 10-under, and Webb Simpson's at 9 under. So you're still in a pretty good spot, man.
Loving it.
Really good spot.
And but, next week, to pick the players for the tournament, we're going to have the grappler do golf trivia. First one to get it right gets the first pick.
Oh, I like it. Where are we at next week? The Arnie Palmer? I think we are. Are we at Bay Hill next week?
Might be.
Players right around the corner. We got some big tournaments coming up. Hour two, we'll see Ray Ferraro join us, and we'll get into, you know, the panic game. Calgary, Vancouver, Montreal. We'll break down what we saw last night. Wow. And there's a lot going on in those markets right now. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.